In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Gospel and our Epistle on this Quinquagesimus Sunday remind us, brothers and sisters, of that beautiful, intricate relationship between the mystery of love, God's infinite mercy, and both of them joined together by His holy cross. In our Gospel from St. Luke, our Lord tells His disciples that all that had been prepared for in sacred scripture must come to pass in Jerusalem. And the Son of Man must go up there in order to suffer and die, be put to death, and be raised to new life. And while He had been with them in explaining all of this, it still remained hidden from them. For some, because of a hardness of heart, but for the most of the disciples, simply an inability to fathom what it is that our Lord was going to accomplish. He is indeed the God of all good things and is able to conquer sin and death. And although they had indeed had evidence of the power of God as they had listened to the scriptures about our Lord, until all of this transpired, it was simply too difficult for them to understand and accept. But the blind man, begging on the side of the road, knows who Jesus is, not by sight, and in one sense not even by reputation. But all that had come down about who Jesus is, the Nazarene, as He comes into Jericho, the power and the might that He brings, he asks the Lord and cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he's not to be deterred by the people around him who are angry at his shouting at the Master. Instead, he cries out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This immediately after the Lord's proclamation of His cross is to remind us of that relationship between what happens on the cross and the blood and water that flow from His side and the mercy that comes to us as the Lord gives us the gift of Himself. It is a share of that mercy that He bestows upon this man who in faith recognizes the power of our Savior. The Lord tells him, "Indeed, you have your sight. Faith has saved thee." To cling to God, brothers and sisters, in good and in bad, whether we know or do not know, in ignorance or in intelligence, it simply doesn't matter. What is required is that we cling to God, and when we do so, those things that we need, not the things that we want, but the things that we need are indeed provided for us. And the wellspring of this is love. As it was in the beginning, so it is now and always will be. God has loved us into existence. God loved us into the recreated existence upon the cross, and God loves us at this precise moment now. He sends His Son, who comes in love and gives Himself in love to us, and then requires that we return the love in the exact same manner in which it was given. This is the exhortation of Paul in his beautiful reflection on the nature and reality of love to the Corinthians. Love is patient, kind, it endures and bears all things. And the reason why it does so on the natural level, because it is motivated and animated by the supernatural love that comes from God the Father through Christ and the mystery of His cross. This is why then St. Paul enjoins all of us to love in like manner. Patient endurance, forbearance, mercy, and compassion, bearing up all things, hurts, and all things beside. And we do all of this in love. A love that indeed knows no end because of the love that we have received. Now, in truth, we know that this is not an easy task. It was never an easy task. But the Lord has not set upon us a burden that indeed cannot be fulfilled. Quite the opposite is true. In order to put into practice the charity, the love to which we are called, we must rely upon our Lord to be the source of strength for us. St. Paul goes on to say that now that he has grown to a man, he has put aside childish things. Not that we don't remain childlike in our relationship to the Father, but we don't remain petulant, angry, or whimsical. We're not motivated merely by what we feel, but understand that there are deeper realities that move us and animate us. And those deeper realities are this intimate relationship that we share with God. All of this should be borne in mind as we prepare now for our Lenten journey. We will undertake praying, fasting, and almsgiving. And hopefully we will not lightly excuse ourselves from our Lenten disciplines, whatever those disciplines may be. And hopefully you've taken these weeks of the Septuagesima season to prepare yourself for Ash Wednesday. So when the day arrives, you're not scrambling to figure out what it is I ought to do or what disciplines I need to undertake. Those decisions should be known and made now. And then, as we journey with our Lord to the foot of the cross and the glory of new life, as we beg the Lord for mercy, which hopefully we will do frequently during the Lenten season, what we'll always keep in mind is we are doing what we're doing not out of a slavish obedience to discipline, not merely because I said that I would, although at times aren't bad motivators, but the best motivation for the things that we do should be because we love. Having been loved, we seek to return that love back to God. And the only way that we can love God completely and totally is how He has chosen to reveal that love to us. It involves the cross. It involves a charity that knows no end or bound. It also involves mercy. Not only seeking mercy from God when we are aware of our sins, but also being instruments and wellspring of mercy for those who maybe have offended us. God never intended us to do this alone. And we are not alone. We are animated by the Holy Spirit. We are surrounded by the holy men and women who have gone before us. We are under the mantle of our Blessed Mother. These things mean something, brothers and sisters. They're not pious platitudes. They're not mere words of exhortation to continue to move us on. They are the very foundation that give us the strength to endure in the face of a world that tells us that we should not, in the face of our own temptation, in the face of our own weakness and our own failure. We might be tempted to give up, but we take our example from the man begging by the road, blind from we not know how long, but not deterred by all those around him, he raised his voice to God, asked for mercy in faith, and in faith received not only mercy, but the sight, natural and increased supernatural. And so as we give thanks to God for drawing us unto himself yet again in this Eucharistic sacrifice, let us do as the man himself did and glorify God for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Let us always see the working hand of God and the promptings of the Spirit in our lives. And motivated by that same Spirit, with confidence and joy in life lived in charity and love, let us give praise to God for all the good He has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.